Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Friday, the 14th of May. We have the EPL preview, and we've got him back. We've got Kevin Kelly back for week two. So that's coming up in a bit as we go through, as both West Ham and Spurs lost last week. So the gap's still two. Can we catch them? Come on, you Spurs. Interesting. I did a Zoom. I just wanted to chat quickly. I was going to leave it till Mindset Monday, but I'll forget by then. I know what I'm like. I did a Zoom midweek trading. Enjoyed it. It's just actually quite nice to have people to talk to when you're doing it. And I went through some of my processes. We were online for about 4 hours. And then sort of you end that. Had a couple of emails straight away from it, a couple of messages. Had one guy obviously trying to text his mate, texted me telling me that he was going to send the link on when it was done. Just shows you what people are like. But I then went to bed, got up in the morning, was fuming about that, I'll be honest. But I just started thinking about the sort of questions I got in the room through the evening, and everything sort of led to me thinking that people, and I put it sort of briefly on Twitter and in the group yesterday, that people, no matter what you give people, you want to, they want to change it, they want to do more. Showed a really solid method, sat and made 600 odd quid. They saw every trade, had one big loser in that, which, guys, if you watch the video back, watch how I react to that. You know, you don't even know it's happened, really. And I sort of was walking around the field, walking the dog, thinking about it and thinking about, why do people, what is it that makes people want to change? Why is it something just not enough for people? And I was thinking back to when FTS started, and I've shared, and I'm willing to share, you know, I've started the summer school enrollment for people a lot more, where when I first started FTS, because I didn't know the online world, I didn't really know how it worked, didn't know how other gamblers worked, very much kept myself to myself. When it started, I kept so much hidden, you know. It's that sort of thing, why would you give your edge away? I was really conscious of what I shared with people. I remember sharing one method years back, and I was, as soon as I'd shared it, I thought, why did I do that? What am I doing? And I actually had an email from a guy about 4 years later, 3 to 4 years later. He may well be listening to this pod. He'd made about $250,000 just doing that one method. And he was the only person I heard from about it. And I think I had that fear back then. And what I've realised over the years is that actually you can share what you like, because the reality is that people just don't do it anyway. The reality is that unfortunately, you know, and I've tried all sorts with pods and this, that and the other, is that it doesn't really matter what you share. I could sit with somebody for 3 months at my desk and still the likelihood is they wouldn't do it, because they'd go off and they've got to change it. And you say stick to 1-0s and 0-1s, and they say, oh, their first question is, what about 0-0? What about 2-0? Always looking to change and tweak it. And I was thinking that as I was walking the dog. I thought, is, you know, you can pretty much share anything, Ian, going forward, because the majority, you know, and I'm not saying everybody, but the majority, the high majority, don't stick to anything anyway and haven't got the discipline or that to do it. But interestingly enough, then I got an email yesterday afternoon from a guy, and I'm going to say his name, he won't mind, Tom Nolan. Tom's been a member of FTS for a long time, really nice guy, lived in Morocco, I think, but been over a couple of times, never given me any aggro as a member, really nice guy. And he emailed me and just sort of said, thanks, everything this year. And he's come a long way since Lay the Draw when he first started, and he's been with me pretty much since the outset. And he talks a bit about himself. He's had, you know, his own issues in life, which meant he hasn't been able to do as much training as he has, but he's turned the corner and he's making money. And he enjoyed the two ahead, watched the video. And he says, his last paragraph in this email is, some years ago, you were very cautious about giving out extra information, but now you're extremely open. It is a big change from the Ian of years ago. A good change for some of us. And for others, it will never make any difference because they won't learn how to use it. But I think you've figured all that out without reading my diatribe. And that's exactly right. I genuinely had those thoughts. You know, whether people believe that or not, I was walking the dog yesterday morning and I was thinking exactly along those lines. I was playing back the sort of evening session in my head, sitting thinking how I operate, what I do. The questions in the room, and everybody was brilliant. I'm not slagging anybody off in the room other than the guy who was looking just to give it to his mate because he thinks it makes him big, makes you a cock, mate. That's what it does. But it's just, I must have had that about 10 times in my time running FTS where people have tried to share something of mine, be it a file, an odd sheet or whatever, and instead of sending it to the person that they want to share it with, they've sent it to me accidentally. So they've either tried to forward one of my emails and ended up replying or sent it back or whatever. And then when you catch them out like that, they always try to deny it. They always try and say, oh no, it wasn't me. Something went wrong with my email. Yes, it did, mate. You were trying to send that on. Every single time. Must have happened 10 or 12 times. And normally once, twice a year, I get that. But yeah, I genuinely was playing that back thinking it actually really doesn't matter what you do. I don't think this game is a tough game in that regard. I think if you keep it simple, it's actually quite an obvious game, but people just put barriers up and make it so difficult. And I think people think it's a lot more complicated than it needs to be. Which, you know, again, it gives me great stuff for the summer school to take through. You know, I've got some big ideas for that, and I am, whether again people believe it or not, sort of, I'm in a position now, you know, and an age and stage in my life. You know, I think we're all a bit, you change as you get older. You know, the people who are 25, 30, 35 now and think they're cock of the walk, you realise when you get to 44, you're actually not. And you realise that you're not that important in life. You're just a fucking person on the planet. But all these things come to you as you get older, definitely. I used to be really aggressive. A lot less aggressive with people than I used to be, because life's just not worth it. But I used to have, you know, I look back to Ian of 30 to Ian of 50 is two completely different people, but with the same sort of values. But anyway, yes, so I can't even remember where I was going now. I've gone off. No, it is. His email really resonated with me because I did just think that people make it so much harder than it needs to be. And I think they think it's harder. I think they think it's got to do this when actually you really haven't. You know, and this has been a particularly tough period with COVID and things, but football's going to settle down. And as I say, we'll do the summer and get on. But enough of all that. It was more getting that email. I just thought that's actually exactly how I was when I was walking my dog yesterday, exactly how things went through my head. Anyway, enough of all that. Guys, the Telegram guys, I'm going to try and jump in Zoom tomorrow if I can as well. Just quite enjoy it. But I'll let you know when I've done my list of potential games in the morning. For now, I'm going to push you on to our Premier League preview. I'm very, very, overjoyed is the word to have Kevin back. We're going to do this week and we will do next week. So that's coming up now. If you just want to stay on and listen to me and Kevin chew the fat over what is, you know, it's going to be a bit of a damp squib end of the season. But as always, thanks all for listening. Here is Kevin and I. Good morning. He's back again. Old Kevin Kelly is back. We're going to do this right till the end of the season or until Spurs can't catch West Ham and it's not worth doing anymore. Welcome, Kev. Lovely to see you. How are you, son?
Yeah, not too bad. Not quite as chirpery as last week.
I wonder why that is, son. Well, if we just have a recap last week, we didn't get much right. We had we both had Leicester on the Friday night. The weekend started badly. It was, I looked and they were 2-0 down at half time, and I said, "Oh, I do think Leicester will get back in the game." And then I looked a bit later, and it was 4-0. It shows genuinely what we knew there. I got Spurs completely wrong. Obviously, I think it had more than hope. I'll cover that a bit more later. We both got Brighton right, which was nailed on, and I'll cover a bit more of that in mine. But then the old West Ham, son, the big chance to leap in there.
Yeah. Do you remember when you was at school, you used to sing the 10 green bottles, didn't you? Yeah. Well, I think we had 11 claret and blue bottles on Saturday or Sunday. They froze completely.
I didn't watch it, but you said they've bottled it and that it was a complete bottle job.
Yeah, absolutely. It was almost like it was a cup final, the way they played it. You could see the nerves were there and they didn't want to go gung-ho going for it. I thought it was,
They had full side out. You didn't have Rice, did you?
Didn't have Rice, but apart from that, it was a strong team, yeah. Okay. They had one shot on target, and I think that the week before it's Burnley, they had something like 26. That tells a story, doesn't it?
Oh, well, you know what I say to things like that, Kev? Never mind. So still 2 points is. Now, we are obviously getting towards the end of the season. It's the time of season. I said in the Zoom this week that I did midweek that the public starts to think they know more than the players and managers. And people start throwing opinions in even more that, oh, this team has to win, and that drives me absolutely fucking mad, I'll be honest. It's absolute, in my opinion, before people get mad, bollocks. It won't be as bad this year because we've already got the relegation sorted. I think it's the earliest the three teams have been relegated for about 15 years or something. But all these sort of stupid phrases like they have to win to stay up and all that, 95% of those games, they never pan out as people say they're going to, basically because the teams that are down there are shit. And that's why they're down there. And this sudden thought that they can turn it on and win a game is just ill-conceived nonsense, and it's been proven. There have been the odd one. Wigan, I think, did it 1 year. Bradford did it 1 year, didn't they? Being then, you're going fucking years back, aren't you?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So it is a bit of a shame it's all done, actually, because normally it presents a good opportunity on the other side as the public back these teams in. I like to get involved and lay them, but with the three, with Burnley sending Fulham down, it's done. But we do have Brighton to focus on still, son, who you've got this week. And I mean, that 2.12 last week was just nonsense, wasn't it? I mean, I don't even know what people are looking at. It's absolutely mental. But people telling me that Betfair are perfect markets are fucking deluded when you see things like that. Genuinely, it's time to go and lock yourself up in a fucking straitjacket somewhere if you're back in Brighton at 2.1 away from home last week. Right, so let's get into it. I'll do the same format. You can go first. We have got tonight Newcastle playing the newly crowned champions City. Newcastle are 13. The draw is 6.6. Man City are 1.29. What do you make of it?
Yeah, Newcastle, interesting actually. I filled them out as 10 and over, and it brings up five games of data. Three, funny enough, were against City. And City haven't won them all. They've shared the spoils, and there's been one draw.
Oh, right.
Which I thought was quite interesting. If you look at the away, gives us 2 point... Sorry. Hang on, let me start again here. I might have to cut this bit.
That's it. You're in now, son.
Oh, you're going to leave me in. Yeah, going back to the away, it shows minus 2.45 in that period. So if you backed the away team when for those five games, you'd be in a minus. The draw brings up 9 points. And if you're backing Newcastle at home, 13.5 points. I know there's not a lot of data to go on, but quite profitable. I think the one thing for the City game is obviously they've got the title wrapped up, but they're going for a bit of a record, aren't they, tonight? I think they've got 11 away consecutive victories. And I think Chelsea have equaled that. And I think if they win tonight, they're on their own with 12.
Right.
So I think they're going to be going all out for this. I think Newcastle, they lost a key player, haven't they? Callum Wilson's out with a hamstring injury. I think without him, I think they're going to lack the firepower to have a go at City. So for me, I'm all over a City win.
Yeah. I mean, Newcastle have proved tougher to beat in the last couple of weeks. Obviously, done enough to keep them up. I think there was a period when the Geordies were panicking and Bruce out was seen to be trending every single day. But you know, they've secured Premier League football for another season. I looked at that record that you talked about, the Chelsea winning 11. Do you know they lost two in the 12th one, son?
No.
I was sitting front and centre.
Was you really?
It was the
All right.
old Spuds who ended that, son. It was a midweek fixture, and we ended that. Beautiful it was. It was a lovely little night.
That's surprising because you've got quite a poor record against them as
Yeah,
well, haven't you?
we have beaten them a couple of times. I mean, we never win there. I think we won once there since the fucking Second World War, but we have won a couple of times at home, and that was one of them.
They're
Yeah,
nice records to
it's
beat, aren't they?
I think they're just a team that, a lot of people now, if they'd won the league and they've got a Champions League final coming up, people would say they'd probably take it easy. I just don't think Pep works like that. I just think he is go for the throat, keep winning. So I'm with you. I mean, I wouldn't want to back them at 1.29, but I think City will brush them aside.
Yeah.
Newcastle will try and put up a bit of stubbornness, but yeah, I think I'm with you. I think City win this evening. Moving on, Burnley versus Leeds.
Yeah, interesting one this. I think this all revolves around which Burnley turn up, to be honest. They're an amazing team, actually. They've played 9 home matches without winning, which I didn't know until I started reading into the stats. I thought they were a little bit better than that. But if you look further back and filter them out on the price, I think they're 3.2 tonight. If you filter out 3 to 3.5, it gives us 15 matches for 12.5 points profit. I think the difference with Burnley tonight is they're safe, aren't they? After their 2-0 win at Fulham on Monday, I think they can relax a little bit, maybe play with a bit more freedom. I think 3.2 is a little bit big for this game. And I think for me, it's a bit of value, and I'd go for a home win.
You're going home win, okay. Yeah, I mean, Burnley again, I think he does brilliant dice on the money they spend, and when you look at the finances, I think Spurs take more in the club shop on a match day than they take through the gate. I think staggering. I think he's just done really, really well. I like him. I think they get a bit of a hard deal. You got people talking about Potter being brilliant, and
Yeah.
Dyche has done. You look at what Dyche has done at Burnley. I think he's been super. I was so pleased when they went down that they stuck with him, and then he brought them back up.
Yes.
A bit like Norwich have done this year. They stuck with Farke, haven't they? And he's brought them back up. But yeah, I mean, I didn't see the whole of the Spurs Leeds game, but what I did see, they gave us an absolute lesson.
Was
Um,
nice, wasn't
you
it?
know, every time I looked up, I was working, but every time I looked up, Lloris was flying across his goal to make a save or whatever. I think in that game, looking at Leeds, I made the fatal mistake, probably more out of hope of thinking Spurs would try and salvage some pride and play till the end of the season. But if you're garbage, you're garbage. I mean, I'll get on to Tottenham when we talk about. I said in the Zoom, I'm not sure what Tottenham have going for them as a club at the minute. Not an attractive proposition for anyone. Fan base divided over Levy. Managers who are being put forward for the job have seen 20 years of Levy in action and the pissing about over transfers and things. No European football and a piss poor squad that's going to take years to overhaul. But that aside, from what I saw, Leeds played really well. Leeds, obviously we got limited data because this is their first season back in the Premier League. They've won 4 out of 5 away to bottom six sides. And Burnley have won 10 and 20 to mid-table, so I couldn't really split them. I couldn't have a bet in the game. Burnley's home form has been poor. Leeds have been good in parts but terrible in others. Burnley, when they came to Spurs, were dreadful, and then they played. I just couldn't split them. I think if I'm more of the view of Leeds turn up and play like they played last week, they'll beat Burnley. But if gun to me head at the minute, I'd have to say a draw, just because Burnley can prove stubborn.
Yeah.
And I don't think, what Leeds did against Spurs, whilst it was good, Spurs are so bad that I can't read too much into that. So I was, I'm not going to have a bet in the game, but I thought it was, I'd prompt for the 3.8, the draw.
Yeah, quite a big odds, yeah.
I hope you're right, because this fucking Leeds mob in the Telegram group are giving me a hard time. So I hope you're right. Right, Saints versus Fulham is next.
Yeah, Saints versus Fulham. I think this all revolves around one man, I think it's all due to Danny Ings, back with a brace against Palace in midweek. And I think he's the player that makes him tick. I think they're a much, much better team with him in there. I think Fulham's problems are scoring goals, aren't they? That's the main thing with them. I think Ings alongside Chi Adams, I think Southampton have got the firepower here to take all 3 points. When playing at home, Southampton have not lost to Fulham in their last seven encounters. And I think they're going to make it eight. Sadly, Fulham, as you said, relegated, and their manager. The good news, oh, Scotty Parker, though, I think he's set for better things, isn't he?
Yeah, West Ham.
I think he's nailed on for the next Spurs manager. That would make me very, very happy. But no, getting back to Southampton Fulham, I think Southampton are going to be too strong for them, and probably 2-0 home win, I think.
Yeah. I didn't realise till midweek when Southampton played Palace, and I was looking at that game in the afternoon before that was played. I just didn't realise how bad they've been. I've not had a lot of betting action with them, but you know, it was only sort of Christmas time they were up around the table, and then when I looked at that Saints Palace game, they were fourth from bottom. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. I just thought that is incredible. I think they got like 10 points this year, all in with that, even with that win at Palace. But I'm much like you. I mean, I wanted Ings when he left Burnley and went to Liverpool. I wanted him for Spurs then. Yeah. I think he is a fantastic striker, really, really good finisher. And I am pretty much exactly the same for you. I like them here. I mean, you're being polite saying Fulham's problem is they can't score goals. I just think Fulham are shit. I think they're a bit more black and white with these things. They've won five games all season. Saints are mid-table now, you know, with that win they had at Palace. And they've only lost one in 5 years out of 14 as a mid-table against bottom six sides at home. They've won nine. They're 11th in the home table form this season. And I've actually put up my notes, back Saints and Ings to win this. That's I'm going to have on Southampton to win this. I do think they'll be too good for them. I think that win at midweek will, you know, give them a bit more confidence now. That run, Fulham are garbage, gone. I agree with you. I think players like Ings are the ones who are going to make the difference. Yeah. So I don't think Peter Webb listens to our podcast, but he's a Saints fan. Back the Saints, Peter, lump on. I'm not leaving you to last because you're nothing now. You're top four, John. So the next game on the list is the 8 o'clock kickoff on Saturday night. Everyone else will be watching. I don't know what Saturday night TV is like now, but what's on, what generation game or something, is it? Everyone else will be watching that. While this nonsense is taking part, it is Brighton versus West Ham. Brighton are 3.0. The draw is 3.65. And you've just been backed in a tick. You're 2.48 now.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's the same as last week. When we were playing it, and I said that's a tricky game for us, I think this is another one for us. I really think we're going to struggle.
Good.
Looking at the stats for Brighton, price between 2.76 and 3. I think when I last looked, they were 2.98. Throws up eight games, but Brighton have only won one of those. Only lost one of those. They've won four and drawn three. Brighton's home form this season, however, isn't that great. They've only won three from 17. So that does give us a little bit of hope. The only thing is with the three, they've come against very mediocre teams that they've beaten this year. They've beaten Leeds, Newcastle, and who's the other mediocre team? Can you think, yeah?
You are such a cock.
But getting back to the stats, Brighton have drawn 8 from 17 this season. I think that's the way to go with this game. I think it's going to be another draw. I looked at the previous four meetings between our two sides. Thrown up 16 goals in the four meetings. So I think it could be one for the over 2.5 market. My prediction, probably a 2-2 draw. I think we might scrape a point.
Okay. Right. Well, yeah, I mean, my first two words next to this match are lay Brighton, funnily enough, which has sort of been my theme for about 4 weeks, 5 weeks. West Ham undone last week. And I think, obviously, your week's been compounded by Ollie out and United capitulating twice in 4 days, 3 days against Leicester and Liverpool. You know, it's made your week horrific, to be fair, and two of your biggest challenges winning against United has, I would say, pretty much done for you and all but ended things.
It is amazing what just a week can do, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you beat Everton and you're looking at a week, but, you know, just I was amazed that United lost both those games, I'll be honest. But, you know, it does show they're not top class, you know. When they make changes and things, you can just see it does affect the team, but still better than most. But I don't think Moyes will let West Ham sulk. I don't think he's that type of manager to give up. I think there's players at the club who will want to finish above the likes of Spurs, like Noble and that. You know, it will mean something to them. I know that sort of thing in football has gone, but certainly there'll be players in that dressing room who want to finish above the likes of Spurs, Arsenal. I look deeper into the tactical genius that is Graham Potter and his excellence as a coach. And only twice at home has he beaten top teams above him. And both of those, funnily enough, are Spurs. 3-0, which was the sort of start of the end of Poch. It was a Saturday game. I was actually sat in a car somewhere doing something, listening to... I was betting on my phone and listening to it on the radio. And it was absolute calamity. I think Lloris went off injured early after throwing the ball in the net for an early goal. And that was the sort of start of the end. And then they beat us 1-0 this year, as you quite rightly pointed out in your little synopsis. Thank you ever so much. And that was when they beat us this year, was when we started our pre-Christmas slump, when we went from top to 10th in about 3 weeks and couldn't beat anybody. Amazingly, West Ham, since 2015, if they have been in the top half, I looked at them in the top half, they have only won away twice in 12 attempts against bottom six sides, which I did find quite staggering. It was Bournemouth way back in 15-16 and Burnley a couple of weeks ago when you came back from one down. So I couldn't back West Ham at that price this week, particularly given what's gone on this week. But I could quite happily lay Brighton because I don't think Brighton will beat you. I think it will be a West Ham win or a draw. I can't see. I don't think you'll lose the game. I wouldn't like to nail my colours to your mast and say you'll win it. At that price, I'd want a bit bigger. But I'm still happy to lay Brighton at three. Like you say, they've won 3 out of 17. They're shit. I'm going to say it until the season's over. They're shit. You know, ridiculous price last week. I don't think this is such a ridiculous price, but it's an acceptable price to lay. I still think they should be a bit bigger against you. So I'm happy to lay Brighton. It's one of them where I'm actually laying Brighton and hoping they win.
Thanks.
Right, and then we move into Sunday's games, starting with Palace Villa. Palace is one I got right last week. You said... it was the Sheffield United Palace game. Slide, I said, if I had to have a bet there, I'd have Palace. So I'm going to claim that one. But what have you got for this week for Palace Villa?
Yeah, Palace, I think they're 3.15. If you filter them out, 3 to 3.5 gives us 14 games. Palace have won 4 of those, drawn 1, but they've lost 9. I think this becomes 10. I think Villa, with their captain Grealish back, I think he came on for the last 20 minutes last night, didn't he? So hopefully he'll be back for the game, strike a little bit fitter. I think with him in the team, they're so much better. And I think he'll just edge this one. I think he'll get past Palace. I think 1-0 to Villa. I think it'll be a little claret and blue win.
Okay, so I just think you'd go with teams that are claret and blue. You've gone for Burnley. That's what it is.
Was originally going to go for the hat trick, but I just don't fancy us.
We got a system here, team. The KK system. Anything wearing claret and blue, lamp on. These are the exact games I hate at the end of the season. You know, I was talking earlier about people try and predict or tell you what teams are thinking. It's not so much that I'm doing that. They're both safe with nothing to play for. I question the motivation to keep going. No crowds driving them on. You know, I think the players have probably had enough of all this season by now. But if you're in this situation, I couldn't touch the game personally. But if I've got put a gun to my head, I would back Palace. I just don't think Aston Villa have been very good. And I've just got Roy coming to the end of his tenure by the looks of it. I think he's going to go out strong. So I couldn't ever have a bet in this game. But I think if somebody says you've got to pick a winner, I'm gonna go against you and have the Palace.
Yeah.
Right, the shit fest that is Tottenham Hotspur are home to Wolves.
Yeah, 1.58 Tottenham. What do you think of that?
1.57 now.
Are they? Well, they've been backed, are they? You know, sometimes you you do a little bit of research and you read stats and they just make you smile.
Go on. There
we go. Tottenham's last win against Wolves was 11 years ago.
Was it? Yeah.
Back in 2010. So that's the one little thing that made me smile when I was doing on my...
I've been at most of them. To be fair, they've been out of the league for a fair while.
But we did don't take that into effect.
We took an FTS member to... it was at the new stadium, the first season when we played Wolves. We took an FTS member, Joe, and his wife, Fiona. And Fiona was a Wolves fan. And I did arrive up at St Pancras thinking this is going to be a nice day out and a couple more I can take the piss out of. And I had to sit in the pub with the very quiet, sheepish head down, sapping on the Guinness after another defeat. So, yeah.
Anyway, getting back to the last six meetings between your sides, I've seen a lot of goals, though. 21 goals in the last six meetings between the two. So, for me, it's one of those over 2.5 matches. I think the good thing about Wolves, that Nuno played a really useful side against Brighton, and I think he's going to do the same again against you. And as you said earlier, I think the Spurs players have down tools, aren't they, for the season? That's what it appears like. So it's a tricky one. I definitely won't back you at 1.58. I can't quite see Wolves winning it. So I think I'd have to plump for a draw in this one.
So you're going for draw and overs?
Overs, yeah. 2-2 draw.
Okay, mate. And I think, yeah, I've got to revisit it. I think you said overs for Brighton West Ham as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I left that off. I've actually got a note there. I like the overs at Brighton West Ham.
Yeah, I think there's been 16 goals in the last four games.
So just winding back, guys listening, I do like to trade the overs over 2.5 at Brighton West Ham. I'm much the same. I'm very similar to you here. I mean, who knows with Tottenham? We got a fucking YTS lad in charge now. He just looked absolutely fucking clueless last week. I didn't watch the cup final, so I don't know. But... you know, people are telling me he looked clueless then. What I did see of last week's shambles, I said a couple of weeks ago, we couldn't beat a Lingfield 11 Tottenham when we get up hungover on a Sunday morning. They'd have to be a later back for me at that price, just given the current circumstances, state of the squad. When you dig into the numbers, we've actually got a really good record home to mid-table teams. We've only lost five of the last 45.
That's very good.
But four of those have come in the last couple of years, which just shows you, you know, how now we've been in decline since sort of 18, 19. It is a much different Spurs team. You take Kane out, what have you got? Son's been dreadful since Christmas. Bale, when he can be bothered. Ali's a bit of a prima donna. And the manager just seems to be picking names now, you know, so the team sheet, you go, wow, we've got all those up front. But it's not actually doing much. You know, I know we beat Sheffield United, but I think my dog could beat Sheffield United at the minute. Wolves are, again, a team pretty much, you know, mid-table on their holidays. I think I'd have to back to lay the back Spurs. you know,
Yeah.
even if they do win, I think it'll be hard work. But I don't, I certainly couldn't back him at that price. But I like the 2.5 as well. I think Tottenham's defence is so shambolic. You know, and they do have the ability to score goals. I'm with you here. I think maybe a high scoring draw. I couldn't rule out Wolves winning. I couldn't rule out Spurs winning at the prices, but I think I will back the over 2.5, drip it in, and trade on goals. I definitely think we'll see 2 or 3 goals here, and an opportunity certainly to, you know, get your money out, scratch, or make a profit. Just let's get it to the end. But hopefully, we get a Brighton win and a Tottenham win, and it all gets a bit interesting.
Hope not. Yeah, it's tight. It's only 2 points, so.
It is, and yeah, I mean, I live in hope. That's all it is. There was a period of a couple of weeks ago, I let myself get confident. I thought, oh, see, looking at our fixtures, we're going to catch them. But that's been well and truly derailed now. So I was just sitting. I'm hopeful more than anything. Right, and then 2 games left. The old Merseyside teams, West Brom v Liverpool.
Yeah, West Brom only 3 home victories this year. Even Big Sam couldn't save them. They've undoubtedly got the worst defensive record in the Premiership. They've shipped 68 goals so far. I reckon they'll go over 70 after this game. Liverpool were good yesterday, beating Man United. They're going to want to finish top four, aren't they? They're going to push and push for it. I think they might get it as well. I think they're going to go the rest of the season unbeaten, Liverpool. I think they'll win on all their majority of their games. I think it's a big comfortable 3 or 4 nil for me.
I've written pretty much exactly the same. I've put Big Sam's, you know, that mythical record's gone of not getting relegated. My exact notes are Liverpool win all the way to the end of the season and nick a top four spot. Yeah. That's exactly what I think is going to happen. If backing 1.2x shots is for you, I think they're probably as good a 1.2x shot you've got this weekend. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. When I was looking at this game, it's interesting that sort of we've had this Super League chat and talk of a closed shop. And I looked at that, and obviously we had Fulham and West Brom come up, Fulham and West Brom go down. Norwich and Watford went down. Norwich and Watford are coming up. Yeah. Fulham have gone up, down, up, down. The Premier League's becoming a bit of a closed shop, isn't it? I just look at it and think it is, you know, I could just see West Brom going down. Not sure Big Sam will stay, but they'll get another manager. And, you know, I said at the start of the season, I call them rubber ball. I can see them coming back. I could see Moyes going to Spurs, Parker going to West Ham, Fulham, a new manager, and in comes...
I'll be sitting in the corner if that happens.
I can see it happening, son. Moyes' contract out. I can just see Levy going for an older head to steady the ship. Try and get us top six and get us Europa League, David, if you can. You'll have Scotty Parker, the old West Ham legend, back. And Fulham get somebody new and they come back up again. And next year you probably see Norwich and Watford go back down and this, that and the other. But, yeah, I just think, you know, Liverpool, I think, are absolutely nailed on here. I really do. I think they're certainties. So if you do like paying 1.2x, then on you go. And then Everton, we had a little reason to cheer last week. I can't think what it was. They're playing Sheffield United.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I cheered it last week, but. I must admit, though, I'll go back to that game. I think Everton did a job on us. I think they really, really tactically did a job on us. They were really, really defensively strong. And they isolated Dawson at the back, who's obviously a little bit older now and hasn't got much pace, and got their goal from that. So fair play to Everton. They definitely did a job on us.
Sitting in the corner, sucking your thumb, weren't you?
I was hiding behind the sofa for most of it. I couldn't watch. Like the old Doctor Who movies when I had to hide behind the sofa. getting back to this, Everton are nailed on for this, I think. Sheffield United's away record this season, 1-1, drawn 1, lost 15. So not hardly inspiring, is it really? I think they're going to struggle. I think Everton has still got a little glimmer of hope for Europe, haven't they? They're going to have to win all their games. I think yeah, Calvert-Lewin, I think, could make the difference here. He scored 18 goals this season, could well get to 20, which is, considering how Everton have played for the second part of this season, that's a good return. I think this would be a tight game. I think Everton might nick it 1-0.
Yeah, I mean, Everton have been horrific at home. I don't know what it is. It's not 1 in 9 or something like that. But surely they get back to winning ways here. I mean, I said it earlier. I think my dog Izzy could give Blades a game at the minute. Particularly getting them away from their home ground. Everton, it is a good win for them last week, going down there beating West Ham. Draw with Villa is not a terrible result. I just think they've got to win here. Surely they can turn the Blades over. Again, I don't think Ancelotti's gonna be sitting at resting in on anything. I think they've got every chance of finishing above Tottenham. Still got a chance to catch you, to be fair. And European football. And if they have got any aspirations and that, they have to win today. Win here this weekend, sorry. I can't see anything other than Everton win, just because of Blades. It's just, I don't think Everton have to be that good to win this game, because Sheffield United are just terrible. So again, it's a bit like me with the Liverpool game. Whether you want to back them at 1.42, I do think there's a little bit of value in that price. It's whether you want to back that. You look at the three short ones: City, Liverpool, and Everton. I think they're probably three as good as short ones as you're going to get this weekend. On a card, I know people like their accas and things. I don't do it. It's not my way of betting, but I couldn't put you off any of them. I think City will win comfortably. I think Liverpool are absolute certainties, and I just can't see any way that Everton don't win. Just as I say, because Sheffield United are desperate, and I think they just want this season over and get back in the Championship and sort themselves out. In the summer, what they're going to do. Right, son. Well, what we got? Next week will be the last one, won't it?
We've got midweek games and then last week.
There's a few midweek fixtures, isn't there, as teams just catch up. Who have Tottenham? Tottenham have got Wolves, then we've got Villa, and then we finish at Leicester. Who have you got left?
Good question.
You've got Brighton. Oh, then you're away to West Brom, which is a gimme.
Southampton,
Yeah, and
Southampton,
then
isn't it?
home to Southampton, who I expect you to win your last two. So I think this weekend sorts it all out, son. I
Did
think
well,
this is the
sir.
one that sorts it all out. If you win and we win.
I must admit, I've been confident all the way through the season until last week, and now I've got this sneaky, horrible feeling that we're not going to finish above you.
Oh, well, if you will, I mean, I don't know where we're going to get points, but if you win and we win this weekend, I think it's all over. But if you lose and we happen to sneak a win, I'd still expect you to win your last two. It's whether we could do anything. I think the one thing for us, Leicester have got a cup final, and then I hope they win that so they're all overjoyed and hungover when they play us. But you never know.
My fear is if we draw this week and you win, then you gain 2 points. You're level on points, aren't you? With a better goal difference. That puts the pressure right on us, and I can't see that. No, I think there's no coming back from
I
that.
love the way you're mapping it all out. I like the way you're mapping it all out. So.
I don't mind losing by a couple of points, but to lose on goal difference is going to be very hard to
Oh no, that would be beautiful. That would be absolutely beautiful. We could do a podcast just on that. We could go through all the goals of the season. We'll go back through all 38 games. Right, son, I'll leave you to it. I'm going to crack on and get this published for the guys.
Thank
Enjoy
you.
your weekend. Don't be too nervous. And I will.
Cut that bit out at the beginning where I
Oh,
find
there'll be
out
no
sorry.
cutting. There's
I'm
no
not
end.
sick, am I?
We don't have time on a Football Friday for editing. I'll catch up with you soon.
All right then, mate. Cheers for
All
that.
right, best of luck,
Thanks a
mate. See you
lot.
later. Cheers,
Thanks. Bye,
mate.
mate.
Bye.